Welcome again to the Warren County Radio Bible School, and this morning what we're going to do is read from the Rock Cliff Review. We call this our special feature because normally we're studying the Sunday school lessons that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of long, long ago. And if you've ever wondered what it was that your grandparents and your great-grandparents studied in their Sunday schools, well, this is it. But we're going to deviate from that, and we do this about once a week, where we read from the Rock Cliff Review. And the bulletin, that's what the bulletin is called at Rock Cliff, Rock Cliff Review. This bulletin article I wrote was about the sermon I was about to preach that shows us that Jesus is the Christ. You see, that's why Mark wrote his book, so we would know. And this is some of the evidence. I entitled it, They Were Warned. Now here it is. The 12 had been warned. After Peter made his great confession, Thou art the Christ, Mark tells us that Jesus charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Mark 8:30-32. It was on this occasion that Peter began to rebuke Jesus. But Jesus turned away from Peter to his disciples and rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Mark 8:33. That was the first warning. He warned them again. Jesus had gone up to a mountain where he was transfigured in the presence of Peter, James, and John. Upon coming down from the mountain, he cast a foul spirit out of a man. After his disciples had failed to do so, this attracted much attention that Jesus did not want. Mark tells us, And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, The Son of Man is delivered into the hands of man, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask him. Mark 9:30-32. It was as though they could not mentally or emotionally accept what Jesus was saying. Perhaps they were afraid to ask him about this because they remembered the rebuke that Jesus gave Peter. That was the second warning. Jesus warned them again. They passed through Capernaum down to the coast of Judea on the far side of Jordan. They heard Jesus tell a man that to inherit eternal life he would need to sell all he had and give to the poor. Peter reminded Jesus that his disciples had left all to follow him, which Jesus acknowledged. Then Mark says, And they were in the way going up to Jerusalem. And Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And they took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the chief priests and into the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again. Mark 10:32-34. That was the third warning. Still, the disciples of Jesus seemed unprepared when these things happened to Jesus. Putting this in order, this is what Jesus said would happen to him. He called himself the Son of Man. He would go up to Jerusalem. He would suffer many things. He would be delivered into the hands of men. He would be delivered to the chief priests and scribes. He would be rejected by the chief priests, scribes, and elders. They would condemn him to death. They would deliver him to the Gentiles. He would be mocked. He would be scourged. He would be spit upon. He would be killed. And on the third day he would rise again. All told, this was a lot of information. Mark is telling us this because he wants us to know that indeed, as Peter had said, Jesus is the Christ. We can believe, because everything Jesus said would happen, happened just as he said. We can believe because knowing what would happen, Jesus went to Jerusalem anyway. And we can believe because after he was killed, Jesus rose again from the dead on the third day. The cumulative evidence is overwhelming and undeniable. Jesus is the Christ. Now that was the essence of the sermon that was preached that morning at Rockcliff. We read from the Rockcliff Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And with that, we're going to return to the Sunday school lessons we've been looking at. And this one is about the dream that Jacob had when he saw the ladder reaching from earth to heaven. I want to read to you, to catch us up, from Genesis chapter 28. I will read 11, 12, and 13. Where it says, he lighted on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, Jehovah stood above it and said, I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. In the margin, where it says Jehovah stood above it, in the American Standard Version, the marginal reading says Jehovah stood beside him. Jehovah appeared to him as the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, because he hath prepared for them a city, Hebrews 11 and verse 16. Although, at that time, Jacob had only the ground for a bed and a stone for a pillow, God promised that the land should be his and his descendants after him. And the covenant with God was renewed. Let me read Genesis 28, verses 14 through 19. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south, and in thee shall all, and in thee, and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And, behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken thee of. And Jacob awakened out of his sleep, and he said, surely Jehovah is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob arose early in the morning, and took the stone that he had put under his head, and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was Luz at the first. Going to Elam's notes, we read, to Jacob, God renewed the covenant made to Abraham and to Isaac. From the river of Egypt to the Euphrates, Jacob's descendants were to inherit the land, which was fulfilled in the prosperous reigns of David and Solomon. Here is a fourfold promise. I am with thee, although he was alone. I will keep thee whithersoever thou goest. I will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken thee of. Years afterward it was said, Who can count the dust of Jacob or number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Numbers 23 and verse 10. Through his trials and struggles, God was with Jacob. In God's school of discipline, he was developed into a man of strong faith and great service, and died in an advanced age, the death of the righteous. The God of heaven and earth, and the possessor of heaven and earth, Genesis 4:22, is everywhere. In this place, years before, Abraham had built an altar and called upon God, and I knew it not. Jacob did not know God was there in the person of angels and in a way different from that in which he was in every place. He was afraid. He was awe-stricken. How dreadful is this place! Others were afraid in the presence of God as Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, This is the house of God and the gate of heaven. We must approach God with reverence and awe, and should so live that every place to us is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven, the gate through which blessings of God may come to us, through which at any time from any place we may enter when called upon to depart this life. In appreciation of God's promises, Jacob was up early. The stone which was under his head he set up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it to dedicate or consecrate it. Stones were thus set up as witnesses or monuments in those days. Jacob called the name of that place Bethel, because Bethel means house of God. And now let me read verses 20 through 22. It says, Jacob vowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me, and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, Jehovah will be my God. Then this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me will I surely give the tenth unto thee. Jacob vowed if God would go with him and do all he had promised, he would make Jehovah his God, and that stone which he set up the house of God, and all that God should give him, he'd give a tenth. This was not so much a bargaining with God as it was a vow on Jacob's part to do what he had said, since he had promised to do so much for him. We should not wait until we're rich before we begin to honor God with our substance and the first fruits of our increase. It is accepted to what we have, not according to what we have not, but according to that which we have. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, we read in the New Testament that God loves a cheerful giver and blesses all such. And that brings that Sunday school lesson to a close. In the next lesson, we're going to continue a study of Jacob and Esau. But in the lesson that comes, it's about Jacob's return to Esau. And there's going to be an interesting event happen on the way. Jacob is going to wrestle with an angel. You may have wondered about that event. I know I have. And we'll look at Elam's notes and see what we can learn about that as we come to that lesson. You may want to mark it in your Bible. Genesis 33, 1 through 11. The golden text will be ye kind one to another.